Again, it's good to see all of you again today, and we thank you for being here. And my friends, tonight I would like to begin what I hope will be a series of lessons dealing with the principle of restoration. Now let me explain what I mean. To restore something is to give back or to bring back to the first or previous state. For example, we are told in Genesis 20 and verse 14 that Abimelech restored Sarah to Abraham. In the book of Nehemiah, we find him urging his fellow Jews to restore fields and houses to their deprived brethren. That's in chapter 5 and verse 11. Look with me now, if you would, in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Now, this is a time immediately before the ascension of Jesus. And look at the question the apostles asked him. The verse says in verse 6, "And so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom of heaven?" Or kingdom of Israel, excuse me. Obviously, what the apostles were thinking about was a return. A return to the glory and the power that Israel had during the days of David and Solomon. Also, they were looking for an escape from the dominion of Rome. So you see, they were speaking of restoration in the sense of rule or government. This is a sense which in which I am using the word restoration or restore. I'm using it in the sense of bringing back, bringing people back to faith, back to practice, and back to the attitude towards and respect of the form of government revealed in the New Testament by the Lord's apostles and their contemporaries as they were guided by the Holy Spirit. That's what we need to do. Bring them back. Tonight I want to talk to you about the need to restore a wholesome respect for the authority of the Bible in all of our lives. Now you may be listening and saying right now, why? Why should I have respect for the Bible? My friends, there are essentially two views that religious people take of the Bible. One is that the Bible is a record of man's gropings to find God, and the other is that the Bible is a revelation from God to man. If you view the Bible as a record of man's gropings to find God, then you will have very little difficulty in disagreeing with the writings of Isaiah, Matthew, Mark, or any other biblical writer. After all, if it is simply a record of their gropings to find God, then your ideas would be just as good as theirs. The Bible would be a record of the beginnings of Christianity, but certainly man could improve on the religion as man himself progresses. So is this your view of the Bible? On the other hand, there are those who believe the Bible to be a revelation of God's will to man. It contains a record of God's work to redeem man from sin, a revelation of the morals and conduct acceptable to God, a revelation of the conditions for obtaining forgiveness of sins, a revelation of the pattern for worship, for the work, and the organization of the Lord's church. To conceive of the church revealed in the Bible as a model to be improved upon by man is completely incompatible with the idea that the Bible is a perfect revelation from God. It either is or it isn't. Each of us who claim to love the Lord makes a commitment to one of these concepts of the Bible. Those who view the Bible as a record of man's gropings for God commit themselves not following the details of the Bible, but to changing and reshaping Christianity to fit as they see it in the age in which they live. Those who view the Bible as a divine revelation will commit themselves to following it as a perfect revelation of what God wants us to believe and practice in every respect. I believe the Bible to be a divine revelation from God to man. I believe it to be an expression of the authority of God over man. And as the Creator, God has absolute and supreme authority over us. Look with me, if you would, at Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 4 and verse 11. Revelation 4, verse 11, we read, "Worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created." Now, of course, today God has given all authority to our Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And again, brethren, if you would look with me at Revelation, this time chapter 5 and verse 12. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, if you would, verse 20. Paul wrote, "Which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Brethren and friends, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord over all things to man. Now, how do we learn what the Lord wants us to do in order that we might submit to his will? Well, turn to John the 16th chapter, if you would. John the 16th chapter. Now, as Jesus was preparing his apostles for his impending death, he made this promise to them in John 16, verses 12 through 14. He said in verse 12, "I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. A little while, and you will no longer behold me, and again a little while you will see me." Jesus kept this promise. He kept his promise. At first, God's revelation to man was through the apostles, was oral. Now, as time went on, this revelation was committed to writing. The written revelation was just as much the words of Jesus as has been that which was spoken by them. Let's look with a few passages with me. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37, if you would. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37. Paul wrote, "If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandment." Now turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll read verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Paul says, "And for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." So, my friends, the Holy Spirit did what the Lord sent him to do. He guided the apostles into all truth. We have been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness in 2 Peter 1. Verses 3 and 4, "And we have been thoroughly furnished unto every good work." 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. There is no spiritual blessings available to man that does not come to us through the Lord Jesus and is revealed in the Bible. None. There are those today who are saying we need to exalt the man and not the book. Well, my friends, everything that we know about the man is revealed in the book. We cannot exalt the man without exalting the book. Far from being a record of man's searching and gropings to find God, it is a divine, infallible revelation of the will of God to man. It is the most precious possession we have because without it, we do not know how to obtain forgiveness of sins, and we don't know how to go to heaven when we die. In this world of constant change and turmoil, the Bible shows us how to live the very best life on earth that can be lived. We need to restore respect for the authority of Jesus as revealed in the Bible. It is imperative that it be done in this age of disrespect for the authority of the Bible. And you know, my friends, different groups of people show disrespect for the Bible in different ways. But it all comes out the same, the need for restoration or respect for the authority of God's Word. So let us consider some who are showing disrespect for the authority of God as expressed in the Scriptures. First of all, how about the atheist? By the way, atheists are generally working under the banner of humanism today. So don't be misled, my friends. Humanism is a religion in itself. From the Humanist Manifest number 2, the book called The Human Manifest number 2, the humanists say, and I quote, "find insufficient evidence for belief in the existence of a supernatural and therefore believe that traditional dogmatic authoritative religion that place revelation, God, ritual, or creed above human needs and experience do a disservice to the human species." Unquote. Need we say more? Atheists blaspheme God and deny the authority of His Word. I pray that they will be restored to respect of the authority of God's Word before it's too late. And when they are, there will no longer be atheists. Second, how about the modernist? You may say, well, what is a modernist? Well, my friends, most of the major denominations of today are modernistic. Modernists deny the verbal and the full and complete inspiration of the Bible. It's amazing how much time and energy is devoted by many of those major denominations denying what the Bible says about its inspiration. Come with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul wrote, beginning in verse 11. He says, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thought with spiritual works." Now, the modernist will say no to this. They'll say no to this. Now, among them, there's a wide divergence regarding how much of the Bible to discard. Think about that. How much to discard? Some scholars have recently been in the news as they voted to decide which sayings of Jesus recorded in the Scriptures are authentic and which are not. Can you believe that? Some reject all the miracles of the Bible. Some reject just a selected few. Some say the doctrine of sins being forgiven through the blood of Jesus is just too outmoded for a sophisticated man of today. Can you believe that? Some now accept and promote situation ethics. You ever heard of situation ethics? Situation ethics mean there are not absolute rights and there are not absolute wrongs, but the situation makes the determination. They say if you tell a lie, it's okay as long as it helps the situation. And it's a sin. It's not a sin to lie in that particular position there. So my friends, I want you to ask the preacher where you attend if he truly believes that Jesus was born of a virgin, if you're not a member of the church. His answer might surprise you. Modernists need to be restored to respect for the authority of God's Word. When they are, they will no longer be modernist. And my friends, Catholicism shows disrespect for the authority of God's Word. The Roman Catholic Church professes to believe in the Bible and even claims the Bible to be a Roman Catholic book. But then they turn right around and subordinate the authority of God as revealed in the Bible to their own man-made church traditions and the supposed infallible statements of the Pope when he speaks ex cathedra. In the book called The Facts of Faith, it's a Catholic book called The Facts of Faith by Monsignor J.D. Conway, he listed these sources of teaching, of God's teaching to man. He listed these. Listen, first of all, they said the Bible. Second, the writings of the church fathers. Third, the decrees and the acts of the early church councils. Fourth, the decisions of the popes. Fifth, their creeds. And sixth, the books of the early prayers. Seventh, the ceremonies and devotions. And eighth, archaeological remains. That's how they list their teachings to man. It's not necessary to say much more. The Roman Catholic Church shows disrespect for the authority of the Bible by submitting it to the fallible, not infallible, to the fallible councils of men, church traditions, and ex cathedra statements from a mere man, the Pope. They need to be restored to respect for the authority of God's Word, and when they do, they will cease to be the Roman Catholic Church. And my friends, I need to mention the fundamentalist Protestants too. The fundamentalist Protestants. These claim to believe in the authority of God's Word, but what they say and what they do don't match up. They show disrespect for the authority of God's Word by their creeds and their statements of belief. Now let me tell you, if these creeds contain more than the Bible, they contain too much. If they contain less than the Bible, they contain too little. And if they contain just what's in the Bible, then they're unnecessary. How can any man or group of men produce a better statement of faith than that produced by the Lord God Himself? Think about that. Let me do it again. How can any man or group of men produce a better statement of faith than that produced by the Lord God Almighty Himself? How can he? Just think about it. Creeds show disrespect for the Word of God. How about their preachers applying a term to themselves that the Bible uses only of God? You may remember Psalms 111 verse 9, which says, He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever, holy, now listen now, holy and reverend is His name. Brethren and friends, this is the only place in the Bible where the word reverend is used. And it applies to God Almighty. God Almighty, not some preacher or some priest or the Pope. Using brethren, father, and so on as a title, when the wearing of titles to exalt oneself over another is forbidden by Jesus in Matthew chapter 23. Or a person claiming that God has given them a revelation separate and apart from His Word. How many times have you heard these TV people get on there and said God spoke to them directly? You know what? When in His Word He says that He has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness, and He says He is no respecter of persons. All of these kinds of things that are so much a part of humanism and fundamentalism show disrespect for the authority of God's Word. Restore respect for that authority and these things will stop. My friends, that's the point. If we can restore the proper respect for the authority of God's Word, we will have taken a giant step towards being what the Lord wants all of us who claim to worship Him to be. That is, to be obedient children. speaking the same thing, and of the same mind, and of the same judgment. Brethren, next week, if the Lord wills, we'll continue our lessons on restoration. And this time, next week, we will talk about the restoration of baptism. The restoration of baptism. This will be a 5-week study. The scriptures say that the disciples were troubled when they saw Jesus walking, coming towards them, walking on the Sea of Galilee. After Jesus calmed him down, Peter had enough courage to ask Jesus if he could walk to him on water. When invited, Peter did walk on the water. Unfortunately, Peter got distracted and nervous when he realized where he was and the rough weather around him. When he began to sink, he cried to the Lord to save him, and Jesus immediately did so. Now think, when our lack of faith causes us to lose control of the situation around us, who do we turn to? Who do we turn to? Jesus will always be there with us in help in need of time. But unlike Peter, we sometimes do not seek his help. Life seems rough, but Jesus conquered them and he can help you to victory. And to become one of his disciples, there are some things that you must do. You must first repent of your sins. Then you must confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, because he most assuredly is. Then you must be baptized, immersed in water, for the remission of your sins. And then when you rise from that watery grave, you'll be a new creature, born again, and on that road that leads to heaven. Maybe you've done those things. Maybe you've fallen away. Maybe you've sinned in a way that others are aware of. Take care of that tonight. And you do that by coming forward and letting us let us pray for you and pray with you. If there's anyone we can help in any way, in anything we can do for you, please come now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.